So, dear brothers in Christ, today we're going to see a very, very important topic. So, the thing that is followed by every Christian in this world, and the Christians don't usually miss this one at all, because there are two things that our Lord gave as a symbol for the Christian. The one and important thing is baptism. Another important thing is the Lord's Memorial Supper. So, the Lord's Memorial Supper, when should we actually take it? Should we take it monthly once? Should we take it weekly once? Or should we take it daily? So, this is the question, because in various places, they do it in various types. In your Nepal, when do you take it? You are in the churches. When they used to give it to you, would they give it to you monthly or weekly or daily? How is it?
Monthly.
Monthly, brother.
Okay, monthly. Good. So let us read today from the scriptures. When should we take it? Because some people do it monthly, and in some places they do it weekly, every week whenever they gather. And in some, especially in the Roman Catholic churches, they do it daily, morning, evening, you see, they do it, which is correct. So we should be following the Bible. So, of course, all these things can't be correct. Either one of the things should be correct. So, which is the correct one? So, about this one, Apostle Paul clearly tells to us in full detail in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, verses 20 to verse 30. So let us read those verses. I request Joel brother to read 1 Corinthians 11 chapter verses 20 to 30, brother.
Okay. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat Lord's Supper. For in eating everyone taketh before or his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What have you ate, houses, eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not.
See, here Apostle Paul clearly tells that when you come together in one place, this is not the purpose for eating the Lord's Supper. Because in the church at Corinthian, whenever they used to gather for this Lord's Memorial Supper, they used to eat like eating a meal. Therefore, in verse 21, it says, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and is hungry and is drunken. So, there is a discipline that has to be followed when we take this memorial supper. We can't just, gather together and eat it as an ordinary meal. Apostle Paul clearly, warns them and clearly corrects them, saying, this is not the way you should be doing. Because this is not the purpose of your gathering, to eat and drink. If you're really hungry, and if you want to take whenever you want, Apostle Paul tells, what? In verse 22, what? Have you not houses to eat, to drink in? Or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. You don't have as houses. If you want to really just come for a casual drink or just for a meal, just to satisfy your hunger, whenever you want, you are taking it. You see, whenever you desire, you are taking it. You are taking it weekly, monthly, daily. Is it just a meal that you are taking? You don't have houses. If you are so hungry, you just want to eat this one as a casual food without understanding its proper meaning, then please, you can have it in your house. That's what Apostle Paul says. Next. And what does it tell further? Continue with the reading. Verse 23 to 26, brother.
Okay. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, took beer.
Now Apostle Paul clearly gives his understanding and explanation about the Lord's Supper, saying, what I am going to teach you now is not my own teaching, you see, but it was received by the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord Jesus Christ taught, you see, these things clearly to Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That means Apostle Paul is directly taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. So when did the Lord take the bread? You see, the scriptures says, and Apostle Paul says that it was in the night that in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. Then continue with that. Joel, brother, continue a little bit louder. Your voice is very low.
Okay, brother. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat his bread and drink this cup, ye do save the Lord dead till he come.
And when he had given thanks, he break it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same also, he took the cup, which he has supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So he says, whenever you're doing this one, please remember, this is not for any meal or something gathering. It is remembering the Lord's death till he comes. You need to do it. So remembering the Lord's death is a very solemn situation. You see, a solemn incident, you can't just do it whichever way you want. Then which is correct? Is monthly correct? Is weekly once correct? Or is daily once correct? You see? Next, verse 27 to 31, brother. Joel, brother, we can continue. Read a little bit louder. I think you can increase the volume.
Okay, brother. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eat and drink damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
See, verse 27, he says, wherefore, this is as often as you're doing, you're showing the Lord's death. So therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So there's a proper manner that we need to take. See, as per the scriptures, we need to take. Or else it is taking it in an unworthy manner. Then we will be, you see, guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that is what this signifies. So you can't take it in whichever way you want. So we need to take it in a correct way. Now, which is correct? Monthly, weekly, daily? Okay, no, not everything can be correct. Which is the correct method? That's what Apostle Paul says. You're taking it unearthly manner means you will be guilty of it. Therefore, in verse 28, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let each and every person examine for himself whether he's doing it properly, scripturally or not. If you're not doing it, what does it say? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning that it is the Lord's body. You see, and for this cause, what is there, Simsa? Many are weak, sickly among you, you see, and many are slept. Therefore, it is necessary that we understand it and conduct it in a proper way. Therefore, verse 32, it says, when we are judged of the Lord and chastened, of the Lord, we should not be condemned with the world. So it's better that we examine ourselves and study about this one thoroughly. Therefore, dear brethren, so we'll take a little bit of time to understand this one properly. Now, there were two things that were given, you see, by our Lord. Apostle Paul says, in the day, in the night, when our Lord was, betrayed, he took these two things and celebrated this supper. So, what are the two things that our Jesus took? Let us read in Luke 22nd chapter 19 to 20. Munna sister, can you read Luke 22nd chapter 19 to 20?
And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is set for you.
Very good, sir. So here, two things are mentioned. You see, it says, Jesus took bread. The first thing Jesus gave was the bread, saying that this is my body. And after this one, you see, he took the, wine and said, this is the blood of the New Testament which is shed for many. Now, why these two symbols are given? What is the meaning of these two symbols? First, let us read the bread. What does bread signify in the Bible? You see, Jesus said in John 6:51, I am the living bread, you see, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of the bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give for this world is my life. So Jesus clearly gave the definition that the bread means is life. Therefore, dear brethren, we have studied in the first class, the class of the ransom. You see, the whole world were condemned to death in Adam, isn't it? So, through Adam, death came to everybody. And to save the entire Adamic generation, the mankind of Adam, Jesus gave a ransom. He came to this earth as a second Adam and gave the ransom, equal corresponding price. You see, the bread which I give is my life. So through Jesus' life, the entire mankind is having forgiveness of sins. And they have standing with God. So through Jesus' life, what did we get? You see, we got forgiveness of sins. Because the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. You see, but there was no rule that God should save us. But he went beyond that one and gave his only begotten son for our sins. You see, and by believing in his blood, we have, forgiveness of sins. Therefore, dear brethren, we have studied in this divine plan chart. You see, N is a plane of perfection. Adam was created here. But when Adam sinned, through him, the entire generation fell on plane R. Now, how can we be restored to the grace of God? It is only by believing in the blood of Jesus. Therefore, we read in the Bible that whosoever believes in Jesus, their sins are forgiven. If their sins are forgiven, it means that they are no more condemned. They are treated on plane N. You see, how they are brought on plane N in God's sight. they are treated as perfect. They are considered as perfect. Therefore, this is justification. You see, justification means what? Something which has gone, you see, imbalanced. You're adding something to make it perfect. That is called a justification. You see, when two people are fighting, you see, and imagine somebody goes and interferes in between, what do the people say? Hey, why are you justifying him? He's the culprit. So justifying means what? Adding something to make something perfect. So Jesus added his sacrifice that we can be perfect in God's sight. Therefore, you see, once we believe in Jesus, what happens? We come to the higher plane of justification. We have studied this one in detail in the class of the church. Let us read Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. Roshni, sister, can you read?
Yes, brother. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
See? Therefore, being justified by faith, not actual justification, we not really become perfect before God. It is only by faith. God considers us that we are perfect, that we are sinless. Hence, we have peace with God. Or else, we would have cast out. We are all cast out. When Adam sinned, what happened? He was cast out of Garden of Eden. We are all cast out similarly as Adam was out of Garden of Eden. We did not have peace with God. But through Christ, we have peace. This is by faith. Read Romans 8:1 also. Romans 8:1. Romanista, can you read? Romanista, Romans 8:1.
Just a second, bro.
Okay.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Very good. So there is no condemnation. The sins are forgiven. For who? Those who are in Jesus by faith. So this is the meaning of the bread. By the bread of Jesus, we have got justification. Our sins are forgiven. So, bread means the forgiveness of sins that represents our justification. Okay. Now, second, what did Jesus give? He gave the cup. The cup was filled with wine. You see? So, what does the cup say? What did Jesus say? Luke 22:20. Luke 22:20. Who can read? Anil brother. Anil brother, can you read? Luke 22:20. Anil brother, you're there? Okay. Ashish brother, can you read?
Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.
See, the cup is a New Testament in my blood. You see, so the wine represents his blood. Now, what is the meaning of blood? You can we drink blood? In the law, you see, God had forbidden to drink blood. You see, even when the first world was destroyed by the flood, there also, God had clearly commanded that you should not eat any flesh with blood, because in blood there is life. Let us read Genesis 9:4. Genesis 9:4. Kamal brother, you're there? Kamal brother is there, sir?
No, brother, he is not here.
Okay, can you read Genesis 9:4, sir?
Okay, brother. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat?
Shall you not eat? No. When Jesus mentioned about the bread in John 6 chapter, he also mentioned about his blood also. You see, John 6, chapter 53 to 56. I'll read it for you. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. This is the terms and conditions of the gospel age. Except you eat the bread and drink of the wine, you have no life. So whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. You see, dear brethren, as soon as Jesus mentioned about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, everybody misunderstood that Jesus was speaking literally, that they should eat his flesh, drink his blood. And since then, many of the disciples went away from him. See, John 6, 66. John 6, chapter 66. Gopal brother, can you read John 6, 66?
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
But then walked no more with him because this was cannibalism against the law. So everybody thought that Jesus was speaking literally. No. Now what is the meaning of eating his bread and drinking his blood? You see, imagine if there is a professor, who was a very intelligent botany professor, you understood everything. From each and every nook and corner of botany, he knows everything. You see, what would we tell him? We would tell him that he has completely drunk botany. What does it mean that he has literally drunk botany? Has he literally drunk science completely? No, that means he has understood it. He knows everything in detail. It is there in his blood. That means, you see, botany is his life. That is the way, actually, Jesus said, you have to heat my body means you have to assimilate me, you have to accept me. And eat my blood means what? My life. You see, as my life is there, similarly, your life also should be in the same way. This is what actually Jesus meant. Bread, we saw the meaning. So, blood means what? Blood means the life of Jesus. How was the life of Jesus? How did he walk in this world? He was holy, harmless, you see, separate from sinners. He led a life which is pleasing in God's sight. See, how was Jesus' life? Ephesians 5:2. Ephesians 5:2. Amar brother, you're there? Ephesians 5:2. Can you read, brother?
I'll read, brother.
Okay, please.
And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor.
See, walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself as a sweet smelling sacrifice to God. His life was a beautiful incense to God. So that is the way we should walk. Like Christ. Like Christ means what? Offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Romans 12:1. Muna sister, can you read Romans 12:1?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
See? Offering our bodies to God, sacrifice, live a sacrificial life. This is just a small service you're doing. It's not any great thing that you're doing to God. A reasonable service. This is the life of Christ. Live like Christ. That is the meaning of having his blood in us. You see, dear brethren, this is what Jesus said to the disciples. You remember, you see, James and John had sent their mother because they were Jesus' cousin. You see? And she went and requested Jesus saying, Lord, please grant my two sons, one to sit on the left hand, on the right hand, in your kingdom. What did Jesus say to them? You see, Jesus said, oh woman, you don't know what you're asking, because that right I don't have. But there is a condition for the brother. If your sons fulfill that condition, it will be given only to them. Read Matthew chapter 20, 21 and 22. Matthew chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. Anil brother, Sunita sister, you're there? Anil brother.
Okay, brother.
Matthew chapter 20, verse 21 and 22.
Wait, little bit. Matthew 20:20. Matthew 20:21. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you are asking. Jesus said to them, can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered.
Finished?
Yes, 22.
See, what did Jesus say? Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. You see, so that was the condition. Jesus was not literally speaking about the cup, because on the day of the Passover, you see, on the memorial, everybody had of the same cup. Jesus was not speaking about the literal cup, dear brethren, because they all drank in the same cup. No, this is not so difficult. The same cup what you're drinking, I can also drink it. But what is this cup Jesus is saying? Jesus was saying the cup of bitter experiences, the cup of sufferings. You see, are you able to drink of that cup of sufferings? My life is full of suffering, sorrow, pain. You see, I'm doing in the will of God. I'm sacrificing myself totally. And my life is a sweet smelling savor to God. Can you drink of this cup like me? That was the question of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, remember when Jesus was, supposed to be arrested, Malchus came and took hold of Jesus. Immediately, Peter took a sword and smote his ears. You see, actually he had aimed to his head, but just missed. What happened? The sword just chopped off his ears. And what did Jesus say to Peter at that time? Read John 18:11. John 18:11. Joel brother, can you read John 18:11?
Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father had given me, shall I not drink it?
See, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Is he speaking about the literal cup? No, the cup of experience, the sufferings. You see, the God has given me that trial. You see, all these things are permitted of my Lord. Shall I not drink it? Jesus here was speaking about his sufferings, dear brethren. Remember well, Jesus, what did he pray in Garden of Gethsemane? Father, oh Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass away from me. Let not my will, but let thy will be done. Isn't it? Read Matthew 26:39. Roshni sister, can you read?
And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let him cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Let this cup pass from me. Pass means what? This cup means what? Which cup did Jesus have in his hand? No, there was no cup. But that experience. He requested the Father, let this pass away from me, but not my will, let your will be done. You see, it was Father's will that Jesus should experience it. That sufferings, dear brethren. You see, this is the meaning of the bread and the wine. Therefore, first Jesus gave the bread. Next, he gave the wine. That means first we need to get justification for our sins. All our sins should be forgiven. Next thing, as soon as immediately our sins are forgiven, immediately what we should do? We should drink of the cup and share and partake in Jesus' sufferings, dear brethren. This is the condition of the gospel age. If anybody has to be a Christian, if anybody wants to be a Christian in this gospel age, this has to be fulfilled. They have to follow this one. Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. Munna sister, can you read Philippians 1:29?
For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on me but also to suffer for his sake.
See, not only to believe on him, it is given for you not only to believe. Only believing is not sufficient, but also to suffer for his sake. You just take the bread. No, it's not sufficient. Along with the bread, you need to take the wine also. You need to suffer with Christ also. No, I'll just leave the comfortably just by believing Jesus. I don't want his sufferings. No, that is not this age. That's, you can come in a millennial age. You can come in 1,000 years. But now, gospel age, these terms and conditions has to be fulfilled. Therefore, you know, Apostle Paul, he rejoiced very gladly to partake in Christ's sufferings. Colossians 1:24. Colossians 1:24. Gopal brother, can you read Colossians 1:24?
Oh, now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church.
See, who now rejoice in my sufferings. I rejoice in sufferings. Can anybody tell that I rejoice in sufferings? Everybody will be so discouraged, depressed when they're suffering. But Apostle Paul says, I rejoice in sufferings. Why? And thus I fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. So Jesus' sufferings was there. That was the cup which Jesus gave to disciples. You drink, all of you drink it. That portion, Apostle Paul also got a little bit. He said, whatever is left over, you see, in that cup, I'm glad to drink it, dear brethren. You see, why? For Christ's sake, this is the meaning of the Lord's Supper. But today, you see, they take it without even understanding the proper meaning of it. They think, oh, if you take, what will happen? You see, all our sins will be forgiven. You see, or else if we don't take it, what will happen? We will fall sick. You see, and we won't be blessed. Some other tragedy will happen in our life. God will punish us. You see, all these weird thoughts. You see? What do they say? We will become weak. We'll become sick. Somebody will sleep. They take that verse literally. It is mentioned in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Dear brethren, it is not for the forgiveness of sins. The Lord's memory is not for the forgiveness of sins, dear brethren. The death of Jesus on the cross, that is for our forgiveness. Not the Lord's Supper. You see? Therefore, because of this understanding only, you know what they do? They take it whenever they want. Some people take it monthly. Some people take it weekly. Some people take it daily because they say, "Yo, Jesus has to cleanse us of our sins daily." Now, daily, is it necessary that, Christ should die for us? How is Christ sacrificed? In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, the people of Israel had to sacrifice daily. Morning, evening, they had to give the sacrifices. But Jesus was not like that. One sacrifice, one time, finished, gone forever. Read Hebrews 7:27. Rome Easter, can you read Hebrews 7:27? Hebrews 7:27, sister.
Yes, who needed not daily, as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for
okay. Sorry. I will read it. Who needed not daily, as those high priest to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Once for all, he finished it, dear brethren. There's no need to repeat it monthly, daily, weekly, thinking that this is for a forgiveness of sins. What is necessary for forgiveness of sins? 1 John 1:7. It says, but if we walk in light, as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Not this memorial supper. Not the Lord's Supper. So some people claim, no brother, you see, before we accepted Christ, we had done so many sins. No? For that one, Jesus died on the cross. Okay. But for future, after believing in Jesus, we sin. No? Yeah, for that one, what to do? For that one only we take communion, they'll tell. Correct? Everybody tells like this only. Why? What does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 11:26. Read. 1 Corinthians 11:26. Joel, brother, read, brother. What does he say?
For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do so the Lord's death till he come.
So, as often as you do, you're showing the Lord's death. So, do it whenever you want. Please do it monthly, weekly, daily. And they twist the scriptures like this one and tell. You see? Therefore, it is for forgiveness of sins. We need to take it every now and then. You see? But what did the Hebrews say? Hebrews says that Jesus offered his sacrifice once. So, once is sufficient. So, when do we take it actually? Monthly, weekly ones, monthly ones, daily ones. So, which ones we need to take? You see, dear brethren, you see, it is none of this. Then, which is correct, brother? You see, the name itself has got a complete understanding. So, it is called as Lord's Memorial Supper. Correct, no? See, okay. Now, Lord means what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. You see? Supper means what? Supper means what? What is the time that we have supper? Supper means what? Okay, I'll tell you. See, early in the morning, we have, what do we have? Early in the morning, we have nothing for your food, for your stomach.
Breakfast.
Very good. Breakfast. Why it is called as breakfast? Because night you would have ate. And again you're going to eat only 12 hours after. Almost 12 hours gap is there. So it's like a fasting. Breaking the fast. That is called as breakfast. Okay. Okay, good. Then afternoon you have for your stomach. What is that called as? Afternoon. You don't have anything for afternoon.
Lunch.
What's the?
Lunch.
Very good, sir. Correct. Lunch. Good. Okay. Then night, what you're having for your stomach, what is that called as?
Dinner.
Dinner.
Very good, sir. Dinner. Oh, good. You're all intelligent. So what is supper then? Now, where do we fit this supper? You know, what is supper? Actually, something you take in between the lunch and the dinner is called as a supper. That means something you take around the sunset. That is called as the supper. See, between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., that is called the supper. Correct or not? Correct or not? If you're not sure, please go and search it. The supper means it is after sunset. You see, when did Jesus take it? When did Jesus take it? Read 1 Corinthians 11:23. 1 Corinthians 11:23. Joel, brother, read, brother. 1 Corinthians 11:23. 1 Corinthians 11:23.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which he was.
Jesus the same?
Night.
Night. Is it the day or night? Is it given day or night?
Night.
Night. So when did Jesus celebrate this supper? He celebrated in the night. After sunset, hence it is called a supper. But today, how many churches do it in the evening after sunset? Do they do it? They do it morning or evening?
Morning.
Morning. Now is it correct? That will become the Lord's memorial morning breakfast. You see? But what did Jesus take it as? He took it as a supper, dear brethren. Therefore, this has to be taken in a proper way. Why? I'll tell you in within a few minutes. I'll prove it from the scriptures why it has to be taken only in the evening. Okay? Now, so many people tell, brother, there are a lot of scriptures which says that you should take daily, you should take weekly, monthly. So let us read those ones. Acts 2:42. Please, somebody read Acts 2:42. Romister, can you read Acts 2:42?
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, in prayers.
You see, breaking of the bread. Breaking of the bread. When did they do it? Verse 46, sister.
And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house.
Continuing daily, breaking bread from house to house. Brother, clearly is given up. They all celebrated. They all did it daily. So we should do it daily. Okay. Read Acts 20 verse 7. Anil brother, can you read Acts 20 verse 7?
And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight.
Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break the bread. So every first day of the week, every week, they used to gather to break the bread. So brother, it's clear. So this has to be taken monthly, weekly as well. Okay? But did you observe one difference in this verse? They have mentioned about bread, but have they mentioned about the wine? Jesus took not only the bread, he also took the wine. But here, there is no reference given about the wine at all. Why? Because this verse is not speaking about the Lord's memorial supper at all. This is speaking about the regular meal which the Jewish people used to have it. You see, we all know the customs of the Jewish people. The Jewish people, they used to have food as a family. Everybody used to sit together. You see, we usually have now when we gather together, we have everybody sitting together, the brothers and sisters and all. That's the way the Jewish meal was there. And an elderly person used to pray for that food. The common food they used to have in, Israel was bread. Hence, we read in the Bible that Jesus, broke the bread and fed how many people? 4,000, 5,000. Did he break rice and give? What did he break? He broke the bread. When Satan tempted him, tempted him to make the stone as bread. He did not tempt Jesus to make this stone as meat. Because bread was a very common meal, very poor man's meal. So bread was a very, very common thing. And bread was like a meal to them. They used to take the bread and pray it and break it. See, we got a lot of incidents and examples in the Bible. You remember when Jesus was walking along with the disciples to Emmaus? What happened then? Read Luke 22, brother. Roshni sister, please read Luke 22. Luke 24 chapter, sister. Please open Luke 24 chapter. Verse 30 and verse 31. Roshni sister, Luke 24 chapter, verse 30 and 31.
Luke 24.
Verse 30 and 31.
Okay, brother.
You got it, sir? Luke 24 chapter. Okay, Joel brother, can you read? Okay, Roshan sir, you got it. Okay. Read, please, please read.
41.
30 and 31st verse.
30 and 31st. Okay. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight.
See what happened? See, Jesus went along with the disciples. All this incident is the entire Luke 24 chapter. Please read it in the house. You see? They were all sitting for the, dinner. And what happened? Jesus was the one who prayed. Okay? So as soon as he prayed and break the bread, immediately what happened? You see? The disciples recognized that this is our Lord. And immediately Jesus disappeared. So, this way, they identified that this is Jesus in the style he was breaking the bread. Okay? Now, that Jesus' resurrection was shown to the disciples in this way. Okay? Now, when did this incident happen? Read Luke 24:1, sister. Luke 24:1.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb.
So it was in the first day of the week this incident happened. Now what happened on that day? Read verse 13, 14, 15, sister. 13, 14, 15, 16. Same chapter.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem.
Underline, it was the same day. Underline, it was the same day they were traveling. Okay, next, verse 15.
As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them.
Continue.
But they were kept from recognizing him.
So Jesus was with them, but they could not recognize Jesus. Now, how did he recognize? Once he broke the bread, he disappeared. No, he clearly understood that that is Jesus. So this was the way Jesus' resurrection was revealed to the disciples. When was it? It was the first day of the week. Now, you tell me which is the first day of the week. There are 7 days in a week. No. Which is the first day of the week?
Sunday. Sunday.
Sunday. First day of the week, Sunday. First day of the week, Sunday. Okay, which is the last day of the week? Which is the last day? Nobody knows. You don't have any weekend.
Saturday.
Saturday is the, because you have leave on Saturday. Good. See, at least in your place is like that. In our place, no, you ask this question, everybody will tell that weekend means Sunday. Sunday, brother, Sunday is leave. Which is the first day of the week? They will tell Monday. First day you need to go to school, no? Actually, first day of the week is actually Sunday only. Okay? For Israel custom, the last day of the week was a Sabbath day. That was a Saturday. You see, that was a rest for the entire Israel. But the first day of the week is a Sunday. This is the day that Jesus was resurrected. You see? And how Jesus was resurrected and how did he show to the disciples? It was in the breaking of the bread. Read that verse again. See, Luke 24, 30 and 31. Luke 24, verse 30 and 31. Anil brother, can you read? Luke 24, 30 and 31.
Okay, brother. Luke 24, 31.
30 and 31. Both.
Luke 24. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight.
So Jesus was revealed in the way he broke the bread. He could not be recognized because he did not come like Jesus. Why? I'll tell you all those things in the coming days. Don't worry. But here, the point is that how Jesus' resurrection was revealed to the disciples was the breaking of the bread. So, we read in Acts 2:42 and 2:46 that they did this custom for what? This was a Israel's regular meal. This was not the Lord's memorial supper at all. Read, again read, let us read. See, Luke, Acts 2:42 and 46. Please concentrate everybody. Joel brother, can you read? Acts 2nd chapter 42 and 46, please read.
And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And they continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house.
Underline, it was from house to house. They did not break the bread daily in the prayer hall. No. They were doing the prayer in the temples. You see, that is a common synagogue. So every day they used to have all those things. But breaking the bread from house to house and did what? Continue with the next.
Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart.
They did eat meat. That means it was a dinner. It was a lunch. What they're doing? This was not the Lord's Supper at all. You see, so daily what they were doing was the regular meal. It was Israel's custom to break the bread and eat. That's what they did on the way to Emmaus. You see? Now let us read about Acts 20th chapter. First day of the week they gathered. Why? Read Acts 20 verse 7. Joel brother, read Acts 20 verse 7.
And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread.
Wait. They all gathered together on the first day of the week. Why? To break bread. Which bread? Jesus' resurrection was revealed by breaking of the bread. They did this breaking of the bread in the memory of the resurrection of our Lord, but not the Lord's Supper, because wine is never mentioned here. So weekly once, on the first day, underline, not the last day of the week. They did not do any day of the week. On the first day of the week, why? Because Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. So to commemorate that Jesus' resurrection, they used to break the bread. Now what did Jesus say? Do this in remembrance of my death, not about my resurrection. So you never told in the scriptures to remember Jesus' resurrection. What did the Bible say? Read, brother. 1 Corinthians 11:26. 1 Corinthians 11:26. Munaster, please read. 1 Corinthians 11:26.
For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do so the Lord's death till he come.
You are showing the Lord's death, not the Lord's resurrection. We are told to remember the Lord's death till he come. Now you tell me, you see, death. When do we remember somebody's death? Imagine Ambedkar, Mahatma Gandhi, Jawaharlal Nehru. Great warriors, you see, the leaders, they all passed away. Even in your nation also, there will be very great, you see, leaders. Now, when do you remember this person's death? Do you remember it monthly, weekly, daily? When do you remember it?
Once in a year.
Once in a year, correct. If you do it daily, will the people keep quiet? No, similarly, Jesus' death has to be remembered when? Only yearly once. Not monthly, not weekly, not daily at all. But is it given in the Bible? Yes, it is given in the Bible that we should do yearly once. Where is it given? Let us read. You see, John 18 chapter 28. That's scripture is quoted wrongly. Please read John 18:28. Anybody from the Bible? Gopal brother, can you read John 18:28? When did Jesus die?
Brother, John 18:28. Then led the Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover.
They may eat the Passover. Jesus died on the cross on the day of the Passover. Remember it. You see, he did not die any other day. He died exactly on the Passover. Why? Because he was the Passover lamb. Now, when did the people of Israel celebrate this Passover? Did they do it weekly, monthly, daily? Yearly once. Read Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 7 and 8. Luke 22, verse 7 and 8. Ashish brother, can you read Luke 22, verse 7 and 8?
Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.
See, he told the disciples, go and prepare the Passover, that I may eat. Now, what did Jesus eat? Now, what Jesus commemorated? The bread and the wine. What was it? That was the Passover. Read verse 13. 14, 15. Luke 22nd chapter 13, 14, 15. Roshni sister, are you there? Can you read Luke 22, 13, 14, 15? Okay. Anil brother, you're there? Roshni sister, please read.
Yes.
Luke 22, sister. 13, 14, 15, sister.
Okay, brother. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover.
Underline.
When the...
Wait, they prepared the Passover. Next.
Passover. When the hours came, Jesus and his apostle reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.
I have eagerly desired to eat which Passover, sir? This Passover. Not the Old Testament Passover, cutting lamb. This Passover, breaking the bread, drinking the wine. The Passover was the meal that Jesus took. Because why? He was the antitypical Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Romy sister, can you read 1 Corinthians 5:7? Romy sister, you there? 1 Corinthians 5:7.
Therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ out Passover is sacrificed for us.
See, even Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. So Christ is antitypical Passover, dear brethren. Now, Passover, when did they connect? Did they connect daily? Yearly once. Okay. Yearly months means when? Now, when did the Jewish New Year start? When is our New Year? Which is our New Year? Arre. Tell me when the New Year starts for you.
January 1st.
January. Arre. What I'm asking, very difficult, tough question. Tell me. See, January is our New Year. But when is the Jewish New Year? When is the Jewish New Year? Read Exodus 12:2. Exodus 12:2. Joel brother, please read. And somebody read in Nepali Bible also. Somebody else, please open in Nepali Bible. Joel brother, read in English.
This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
First month of the year. Which is this one? Read Exodus 13:4, brother, now. Exodus 13:4 in English.
This day came ye out in the month Abib.
Abib. This first month is month Abib in Jewish language, Hebrew language. Now, same thing. Can somebody read it in Nepali? Exodus 13:4. Who can read it in Nepali?
Okay, I got it. Abib Maina ko aaja ke din ma timihuru niskera aayo.
Abib Maina. Abib Maina, okay. Chitramas, Chaitramas is given in any of your Bible? Any of a Bible, does that word is there in Nepali? Chaitramas, Chitramas or something? Ashish brother, does it come in your Nepali Bible?
No, brother. It's not in, even in the footnote. It's not mentioned.
So it's not mentioned there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Anyway, not a thing to worry. See, you see some other languages that the month of Abib is actually the month of April. It's called as Chaitramas. Okay. Now, you see, actually the Bible beginning of the year is April. Okay, that's what the Jewish people left Egypt. Then, how did it come to January? You know, when Israel people, after crucifixion of Jesus, Israel was destroyed, they were scattered all over the world. When they were scattered all over the world, they used to celebrate the new year, the Passover, on the month of April only. And there was an emperor in Rome. He got very furious. He told, no, you're not going to celebrate all this Passover and all your religious things in my place, in Rome. We are going to stop all this. Because Roman emperor was the one who was ruling the whole world. Then, the king observed one thing and he changed the month, the beginning of the year itself. He changed the entire calendar. He changed it to January. Why did he change it to January? Because that emperor's name was Generosus. Generosus. So a suitable month which was equivalent for his name, he chose January. So Generosus, January. Therefore, he shifted the beginning of the year to January instead of April. You know, that is how January 1st was the new year. And Roman calendar, Ligurian calendar, everybody began to use. And so what happened? In the calendar, today also, January is called as the first, you see. But when does the financial year begin? Even today? It's April. Now what happened? After doing this new year also, the Jewish people still used to continue the April as the beginning of the year. Now to tease them, to rag them, you see, To bully them, the king made that April is April Fool. You see, that's how April Fool came. You know all this theory about April Fool? This is how it came, actually. Anyway, but from the Bible, April is the beginning of the year. So, you can read all these things in your house, okay? So, the Passover, about the Passover is given in Exodus 12 chapter, very detailedly, okay? It says, on the 10th day, you need to take a lamb, you see, and you have to keep it in the house for 14th day. On the 14th day, you need to kill it. When? Let us read Exodus 12:6. Exodus 12:6. Exodus 12:6. Who can read? Gopal brother? Or?
Sure, brother. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
In the evening. So Jesus, similarly, he came to Jerusalem on a, as when? On the 10th day. John 12 chapter, you see, first verse, he says, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Lazarus' house. And John 12:12, it says, you see, on the next day, that means the 5 days before the Passover. You come 5 days before the Passover, it is the exact the 10th day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, was welcomed as a king, as a lamb was welcomed inside the house. Similarly, Jesus was welcomed. Then, what happened? The lamb was supposed to be a first year. He should have no blemish at all. So similarly, Jesus was holy, harmless, separate from sinners. He had no blemish at all. And what they had to do? After slaughtering the lamb, the blood had to be applied on the doorpost. You see, and everybody has to be inside the house. Nobody should go outside the house. So what does it mean? If we need to be saved from death, we need to be inside the faith of Jesus. We need to apply the blood of Jesus and faith upon our heart's door. You see, we need to be in the household of faith. In this faith, we need to be there. Read Galatians 6:10. Anil brother, can you read Galatians 6:10?
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Household, this house, the blood has to be always there. You should be inside this blood, you see. And what will happen? The angel of death will pass, it seems. So, whoever is out of this house, they shall be killed. So, once you leave this household of faith and go out, immediately you shall die the second death. Now, in the night, after, you see, killing the lamb. You see, when was the lamb killed? Remember it. They did not kill it in the morning. They killed it in the evening. Read that verse again, brother. Exodus 12:6. Exodus 12:6. Gopal brother, can you read Exodus 12:6?
Sure, brother. Exodus 12:6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
In the evening. Therefore, Jesus died on the cross in the evening also. I'll prove it to you. Okay? Jesus died at almost 3 p.m. in the evening. You see? And Jesus celebrated this Passover after 6 p.m. Hence, this is the time that we need to take. Hence, it is called as Lord's Memorial Supper. Not dinner, neither lunch. And how did they have it? You see, we remember, we all know this story very well. We've seen this in the movies and all. You see, in the night they killed a lamb. They used to roast it. You see, eat it raw. And they have to be trimly dressed with shoes, all the dress, everything, packed everything. And eat it very fastly. So what does it signify? This signifies that we need to be well prepared. Always be ready. In Lord's activities, very thoroughly ready. Always put on the shoe, preaching, gospel. You see, Ephesians 6 chapter, no? It is the full, be always ready with the armor of God, that your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This dress should always be ready with our staff in our hand. The word of God always should be in our hand. Okay. And, okay. So this has to be taken on that day. Okay, correctly, no? On the day of the Passover, yearly ones in the evening. Okay. Now, Jesus died on Friday. He was resurrected on Sunday. Correct, no? Now, you know, That day when Jesus died was a good Friday. It was a Friday, it was a good, okay, good, because he's a sacrifice for us. But today, every year, it will come on a Friday. Have you observed on the calendar? Good Friday will definitely fall on Friday. How will it fall? Every year doesn't fall on a Friday at all. They have manipulated the Bible. They have changed the Bible just to suit their idea. The Bible doesn't say, like for example, you are born on a Tuesday, means next year it will come on Wednesday. Then it will come on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It keeps on rotating. It doesn't come every year the same day. But here, the Christians, instead of giving importance for the particular event, a particular time and a date, they gave importance for the day, which is unscriptural. You see, therefore, dear brethren, this has to be taken when? On the month of Nisan, you see, 13th, in the evening, yearly ones we have to take. Therefore, Apostle Paul, regarding this one only, is correcting the church. How? Let us read finally and finish 1 Corinthians 11 chapter 27 to 31. Joel brother, please read 1 Corinthians 11 chapter 27 to 31.
Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
See, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, taking whenever they want, monthly, weekly, daily, that's an unworthy manner. If you take it, it means you're eating damnation. You see, and condemnation, not understanding that it's the Lord's body. You see, dear brethren, therefore, it has to be properly celebrated once a year. Even after telling this one, somebody goes to partake this one, you know, in an improper way. Then what does it mean? It means that is not the Lord's Supper. That is the devil's table. Read, it's given in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10:21. 1 Corinthians 10:21. Muna sister, can you read 1 Corinthians 10:21?
He cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. He cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils.
See, you can't be drinking of the Lord's table as well as the devil's table. You see, you can't eat of the Lord's table and the devil's table. You can't drink of the Lord's table and the devil's cup also. You see, because Satan has duplicated everything. You have seen from beginning to end how Satan has manipulated the Bible. Same memorial supper, he has duplicated it. Lord's table, the devil's table. Lord's cup, the devil's cup. Lord's cup is only for once a year. Here you can take it whenever you want. That's the Satan's choice. That's the Satan's world, dear brethren. So we should be very cautious and we should be very attentive, because this is remembering our Lord's death. This is not something that we do it just for our satisfaction. A dying person requested only one thing from us. He never requested anything for us to do in his remembrance. Has Jesus requested any one thing, dear brethren? Not even one thing. He requested only one thing. Please do this in remembrance of me. Even in a jail, when they're hanging a culprit, his last desire and wish shall be fulfilled. Our Lord's last desire was that his body would celebrate it appropriately. Only just a small thing. Today, the Christian world have misunderstood the scriptures and doing things which are pleasing for themselves. Let us pause for a moment and think. Really, is it bringing glory to God by taking it daily, monthly, weekly? We should be taking it yearly once in a proper way. We should never miss it, dear brethren. That's not a very ordinary thing. It's our Lord's death, because of which we have life today. What gratitude do we give to our Lord? You see, there's some small request. So, dear brethren, in the coming days, let us all be faithful to the Lord and do it in a proper way. But Lord, add blessings to these words. If anybody has got any doubts, any questions, they can ask. Anybody, any questions, any doubts? Anybody? Anil brother, any questions, any doubts?
No, brother.
Okay, Joel brother?
No, brother.
Munna sister?
Brother.
Any questions you have, sister?
No, brother.
Okay, Romy sister, Amar brother, any doubts, any questions?
No questions, brother.
Okay, Roshni sister and Kamal brother, any doubts?
No, brother.
Okay, thank you.